You're listening to Packers Talk Network.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
Check New York Bozo! New York Bozo! New York Bozo!
I'm going to go so angry Jim Rome on you, Brian. It's going to be ridiculous.
Jordan made some good points, and that was cute.
Who, me?
Well, you're real handsome. Your eyes look real nice today in that jersey, Brian. Tell you that right now.
And bring you some more devastation and more knowledge and more fun facts about
Did you just promise
tonight?
That we're going to go devastate all of our listeners?
Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of Pack to the Future podcast. As always, I am your host, John Jameson. Joining me tonight, Brian Fonfara and Dusty Evely. Boys, it is a pleasure and an honor, as always, to do this podcast with you. Let's have fun. Let's enjoy it. Let's get after it. Before we get too far.
You got my name right, John.
I did that on purpose. I'm sorry.
I don't think you did. I assume that was an accident.
Oh, no. I'm sorry I got your name right, Dusty.
Okay, and it's okay.
I hope that you forgive me.
I won't.
I actually feel bad now that I did that.
You should.
but, like I said, I'm hungry. I'm hungry for a Packers dub, and I'm hungry for beef jerky. Where can I get some?
Beef jerky. Dusty Evesley knows where we can get some beef jerky.
Yeah.
I fixed it for you, Dusty.
It's Sioux City jerky, man, because those guys just produce it straight fire, man. Straight fire.
Yeah. Guys, Sioux City jerky, Dusty will agree, is some of the best jerky I've ever had. I am not joking. They use only the finest ingredients, from the beef and pork to the spices and other natural flavorings. Everything is made in the U.S., and a portion of each sale goes to the Children's Miracle Network. It's a great company you'd be buying from, guys. Just do it. Get some as a Thanksgiving appetizer this week, maybe.
Ooh.
Or with Christmas right around the corner, it would make a perfect stocking stuffer. I would love nothing more than just a stocking full of Sioux City jerky. Again, I am not joking. Either way, visit SiouxCityJerky.com. There's a link in the description below. Pick some up today. Sioux City Jerky, a taste above.
Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, the guest interview. All right, Packer Nation, it's time. The guest interview. It's our boy, Eric Thompson, Daily Nordsman, joining us for the 13,000th time on Back to the Future here. How you doing, brother?
Just hanging out. Where it's the Chicago Bears world, and unfortunately, we're all just living in it right now. So
yeah, how you feeling? How you feeling after yesterday, dude?
Well, I think it's just, unfortunately, not to steal a line from the late, great Denny Green, the Bears are who we thought they were. Unfortunately, that didn't get pretty good this year. I mean, the defense was amazing. Trubisky, he didn't do anything that I didn't expect. He ran well. He missed some passes. He had some nice passes. And the Vikings, once again, have been the case in all four of their losses, and that infamous tie in week two, they can't get out of their own way enough when it's a good opponent, and that's kind of what came back to bite them. That final score, of course, it was a lot closer than I think the final score would indicate. The Bears kind of dominated that game. And, you know, that's after 10 games now, it's kind of who the Vikings are. They're kind of a flawed team that has the talent to hang with anyone. I mean, especially when you look at the teams like that they have lost to, the Rams and the Saints. They kind of hung with both of those teams, but just couldn't get out of their own way. And of course, that Bills loss, I still don't know what happened. That's kind of a different one. But other than that, they're just kind of in that second tier right now. And I think they're going to be fighting with a whole bunch of teams in the NFC for a wild card spot.
I mean, who would have thought that the Packers and Vikings playing mid-November is a game that, you know, you could consider a must-win game for both teams to pretty much keep playoff hopes alive. When the schedule came out, I never thought that this would be the case for my team. you're probably thinking the same thing. And I mean, at this point in the season, are there any regrets in giving Kirk Cousins that deal?
I mean, yeah, you can say the hindsight is 2020, and of course, I've had Redskins fans all season, especially after the losses, come and mention me on Twitter, and like, well, this is the Kirk Cousins you're going to get. He's going to put up big numbers, but he doesn't show up in big games. And I think that's a little bit of an unfair assessment overall. I think the offensive line has had a lot more to do with the Vikings' downfalls on offense than Cousins himself. But again, a couple of those throws that he made last night were just the kind that you can't make if you're going to be that top-tier quarterback. And I don't think Cousins needs to be an elite. He doesn't need to be in a Rodgers. He doesn't need to be a Breeze for the Vikings to succeed this season. He just has to avoid those fatal mistakes. And in about half the games this season, he hasn't. So, I will attest, even if it goes completely wrong the rest of the way here with Cousins, that it was definitely the right choice at the time, given what the options the Vikings had. You had an opportunity to get a very good quarterback in his prime. Again, it was an unprecedented amount of guaranteed money, but he's already been surpassed by a couple larger contracts. It's just it's unfortunate that it's the same kind of thing with, you know, it's very solid defense, and the offensive line turns a lot of troubles on the offense, and Cousins in that super upper echelon that he can overcome those.
I mean, would you say the offensive line has been maybe the biggest point of weakness for this team so far this season?
I think so overall. It's just been, you know, who would have thought that losing Nick Easton, their left guard, would have been such a domino effect that has affected the rest of the season so much. Pat Elflein was hurt at the beginning of the season. He missed a game or two at the beginning. He still hasn't been. I think he's maybe taken a step back overall because there were a few plays last night. Again, the Bears are going to make you look bad on offensive line, even if you have a very good line. But I don't think he has kind of made that next step, because he just kind of had a slow start. He didn't have basically any kind of preseason. I think the one positive on that offensive line is rookie right tackle Brian O'Neill, who even during that debacle last night was only credited with one pressure by Pro Football Focus. So I think they maybe have a tackle that they can potentially be a starter for a handful of years down the road. Riley Reiff has still been banged up. He just got absolutely dominated by Khalil Mack. Again, Khalil Mack is going to do that to just about anyone in the league. Tom Compton was still beat up. He actually had to get subbed out for Danny Isadora down the stretch last night. So it was the one pain point, I think, on the whole team going into the season. And it's just kind of reared its ugly head more than Vikings fans even anticipated. And of course, that's leading to all the hindsight and second guessing of Rick Spielman. They should have addressed the offensive line more. They should have, you know, of course, drafting Mike Hughes in the first round and then having him out for the rest of the season after just a handful of games makes that pick look even worse. But again, going back to just, was Cousins the right pick? Yes, at the time in the bubble. And there's still two more full years where they have the majority of their core players locked up. So even if it doesn't work out this year, I can't consider it a total failure. There's still a couple seasons they can maybe make some progress. But as of right now, it's disappointing overall.
Yeah, I would agree with virtually everything you said, Eric. And I mean, this is a very, very big game for both teams come Sunday. And what do the Vikings have to do on Sunday to win this sucker?
It sounds so generic and cliched, but they have to take care of the ball and protect the quarterback. I think if they do those two core things well, they're really tough to beat, because even after the first half of the defense wasn't that great against the Bears offense, the Bears had 14 points at halftime, and they had 14 points until that pick six in the fourth quarter last night. So even when I think defense as a whole didn't have a great game overall, they're going to keep the Vikings in the games. It's just that they have to get out of their own way sometimes. And even with a handful of the penalties that the Vikings took, that Eric Wilson one was just absolutely a joke. I think a towel got on his arm and he got a personal misconduct foul. But the thing, Harrison Smith hitting Trubisky late to help set up that late field goal and to ice the game for the Packers. It's things like that. If they can get out of their own way and just play the way that they're capable of, this is still a very talented team overall. It's just a matter of I'd still think at 10 games in, they really haven't put together the full kind of 60 minutes of front-to-back game that they're capable of. But again, it's not working out the kinks anymore. We're over halfway into the season, and the Vikings are still doing this to themselves. So, yeah, in bananas game on both sides, because there's a lot of hammering, a lot of disdain on both sides. I follow all you guys on Twitter, and you guys are fielding a lot of questions. Fire everyone, replace the whole the quarterback is terrible. Why aren't we giving him the ball? Just like each other as a fan base overall. We're basically the same Spider-Man meme right now. Like, we're just pointing at each other. There are so many similarities in a bad way between that.
I mean, and this is the moment of glory here. What's going to be the final score on Sunday here, Eric?
Oh, boy. I mean, I tweeted this out last night. I almost feel a little bit more confident that the Vikings played so poorly on national TV on the road, which has kind of been narratives that have haunted the Vikings for the past several years, as true or as not true as they may have been. I think that hopefully it seems like at least through after games like that, they seem to rebound a little bit better. It is at home. The Vikings have been a lot better at home this week or this year overall, the Bills game notwithstanding, of course. I really think with the key players that the Packers have out, I think because Jimmy Graham and Mike Daniels, they're basically have already been ruled out for this week, correct?
Yes. Yep.
So, I think Daniels, Graham, of course, he can hurt you every once in a while, but Daniels, I think, is going to be a big one because he can spur so much of that disruption on the offensive line. And he's out. That's a big that hurts the Packers a lot. So, again, I don't say this with a ton of confidence. Either way, I wouldn't be surprised. And this, you know, the one thing I'd be scared of is kind of the Aaron Rodgers. Okay, you guys really think I'm the problem? He could have one of those FU games where he just pulls off and he's completely unstoppable. But I think overall the Vikings are still in a little better shape. The Packers, again, I really like the strides that they've made on defense this season, but they still have a lot of young players that are kind of working out the kinks in that secondary. I think in a year we're going to see a really good Packers secondary, but I think there's still some vulnerabilities. Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen are still really good, and Diggs could have had a much bigger game if Cousins didn't miss that touchdown in the first quarter. If Cousins shows up and is serviceable, offensive line takes care of business, I think the defense is still going to give Rodgers and company enough problems. So I haven't written the preview, obviously, for this game yet this week, but as of right now, I would say something along the lines of 27-20 Vikings.
I mean, I don't like hearing it, but I mean, it's going to be a good one. And I mean, we're looking forward to it. And the great Eric J. Thompson, where can we find you on Twitter?
You can find me at Eric_J_Thompson. And I'm going to be very active during the game. So if you, as a Packers fan, if you want to follow along, especially if the Packers are winning for some Schadenfreude, that means that's, I'm usually a fan for former writers, so you'll probably get some funny self-deprecating tweets.
I love it, dude. Well, once again, it's always great having you on the show, and maybe we'll do this again this year. Who knows? Maybe our seasons turn around respectively, and it could be a wild card game. Who knows? But hey, brother. Thank you once again for joining us, and we'll talk soon, brother.
It's always a pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Eric J. Thompson, go ahead and give him a follow on Twitter, and we are kicking it back to our coverage of the green and gold. Kicking it back to our side of the football, the good side of the football. Those dirty, nasty Vikings got another thing coming to them this week, Brian. How do we take out this ugly purple dinosaur?
Oh, man, I wish I could agree with you that they do have another thing coming this week. I'm really not sure. Guys, I'm so close to just canceling this segment because I feel like I'm just saying the same freaking things every week, just trying to scream at Mike McCarthy, but really it's just at a brick wall. But here we go. Number one, run the damn ball. Just run. Run until Aaron Jones passes out, man. Just absolutely inexcusable that they ran the ball 12 times last week. 12 times with a lead, with Aaron Jones, with Jamal Williams, and against one of the league's worst run defenses. It defies all logic and understanding. It just made no sense at all. Now this week, this is where I have some pessimism about it, because it's McCarthy's MO. If the running game struggles once or twice, it's just gone. And here we are going against the Vikings, who have, in terms of DVOA, they are fourth in the league in stopping the run going into this week. That's going to make things difficult, and you know McCarthy's going to want to just stop running the ball altogether. The biggest problem I have with that is not that the offense is struggling. It's not that Rodgers isn't at his best. It's that the Vikings defense is also really good against the pass. They're ranked 10th in DVOA. Like, they're really good. They'll kill you either way. And that's going to be a really, it's going to be really tough to get our offense going. But if you're going to do it, you have to use the running game to set up the pass. As I mentioned before, you need to use Jamal Williams more. Like I said, it's not about only giving the ball to Aaron Jones. It's about running the ball more and doing that with Aaron Jones. So Williams should still be getting at least, you know, 5 or 6 carries per game. We're at a point in Rodgers' career and McCarthy's offense where we need to run the ball more, not just shift Williams' carries over to Jones. I don't think that was the answer at all. Use them situationally too. That's one thing that really bothers me. This drive is Jones, this drive is Williams. No, they're two completely different backs. Use them to their strengths. Use Jamal Williams in short yardage situations. Like, I don't know, just spitballing off the top of my head here. There's about 4 minutes left in the game, and you're sitting at 3rd and 2 against a bottom 10 run defense, and your defense hasn't been playing well in the second half, and you lost Kenny Clark and Mike Daniels. You know, a situation like that where you really need to pick up a first down. Maybe, you know, not that that would ever happen, but...
Yeah, pick a realistic situation, Brian.
Yeah, seriously, we are stranger than fiction at this point. Number two, Eric and John talked about this. The Vikings offensive line is not good, guys. It's not really a newsflash. They've been bad for quite some time. They seem worse this year, though. And if you get pressure on Captain Kirk, he's prone to making some really stupid mistakes, throwing some balls that he really shouldn't, just Jay Cutlering the situation and throwing really interceptable balls. So I think that if the Packers are going to win this game, they're going to need to turn the ball over 2 or 3 times to accomplish it. So get a whole bunch of pressure on him. Petten, kind of just keep doing what you're doing. Keep scheming it up the way you've been doing all year. It's been pretty hit or miss in terms of us getting home, but we've been getting pressure pretty consistently. Kyler Fackrell's on fire right now. Who knows? Maybe we can get home a few times or even close enough just to make him throw some of those stupid balls. That would do the trick. Number three, situational play calling has to improve. I don't think it will, because like I said earlier, or in the show earlier this week, Mike McCarthy is stubborn. He's going to keep doing what he does because he claims that he has numbers. We've never seen these supposed numbers, but whatever. Like I just said, you got to use Jamal Williams in short yardage situations. You've got to mix it up in the running game. You got to keep on running the ball. You've got to commit to things. Just seems like all year it's come down to abandoning the run. It's come down to some key 3rd and 4th downs where we've just failed. And that's got to change. It absolutely has to change. It really doesn't matter if Rodgers completes the pass or not. It doesn't seem to matter at this point, because just somebody else is going to mess up somewhere. So he's got to improve in the play calling. As for how this game is going to go, I'm not too optimistic on this one. It was against my better judgment last week that I predicted a win, if I'm being totally honest. I don't think I can predict one this week. Despite their lousy quarterback play and offense in general, the Vikings are a better team right now. They're playing at home. They have a defense that's headed in the right direction. Other than a blowout against the Rams, their defense has been pretty top-notch all season long. I don't see how a struggling offense turns it around against them. You know, maybe next week when we're not against the Vikings defense, we can do a little better, but I hope I'm wrong, but I just don't see it. So I'm predicting the Packers lose this one 24-17.
Boo.
Dusty, numbers.
Boo. So Brian took some of the DVOA stuff, which is cool. It's cool. Cause I can adapt. But yeah, I mean, what that comes down to, yeah, the Vikings defense is good. It's so good, in fact, that I was watching that Bears game, and I don't know if you guys were the same way, that the Vikings-Bears game this past Sunday, and they're sitting in the third quarter. You're like, man, the Bears have looked incredible. This offense, man, they're moving the ball. They're doing what they want to do. They're up 14-0. Like, they didn't – it's not like they put up, like, 30 points or something. They put up 14 mm-hmm. points, and it looked like they were just, like, world beaters. This Vikings defense is really, really good.
With only one touchdown.
Yeah.
Let's add.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Only one touchdown. So, yeah, that's kind of insane. One of the weaknesses that they do have, Brian mentioned the importance of setting up the run game. And one of the things that opens up, as we all know, is the play-action game. So if you look at the Vikings passing plays, this is Pro Football Outsiders, on just regular straight dropbacks, that defense is allowing 6.2 yards per play, which is seventh in the league. If you look at their play-action defense, which is, you know, you're just looking at what they do defending against play action, they're allowing 8.7 yards per play, which is 22nd in the league. So this defense is good, but if you can get that run set up, which as Brian said, it's going to be hard. They're the fourth best run defense in the league. But if you can at least establish that you can be a threat there, that opens up the play action game, and that's one of the weaknesses that the Vikings have is play action games. So that's a big, big area we're looking for. I always kind of like to look at red zone numbers as well as another thing. And, you know, the Packers this year, as far as red zone scoring touchdowns while they're in the red zone, they're at 59.4%, which is 14th in the league. They kind of have their good weeks and their bad weeks. Overall, they've just not been where we're used to seeing them. So at 14th, they're essentially an average team, slightly above average. Vikings are first in the league on defense. They only allow touchdowns on 40% of opponent trips in the red zone. So if the Packers are going to win this game, they're going to have to overcome that. That's a big one for them to overcome. They have to set up play action. They've got to score touchdowns in the red zone, which Minnesota is very good at, against defending about against. I got two more things here. One is I kind of looked at this. This was kind of a I just thought I would look into this kind of thing. As far as the Packers no huddle numbers, the no huddle numbers I got came from Pro Football Reference. The Packers are running no huddle 5% less than they have over the past 2 years. Which is crazy to me. I mean, you've got young guys. You kind of want to go up tempo. You know, if they had the problems with the timeouts, it seems like up tempo is kind of where you kind of need to go. That's kind of where you want to go. And they're running at 5% less. So, you know, running no tempo or no huddle, you kind of get that up tempo going. They've got the personnel for it. I mean, with Kendricks and Lewis and even Graham as kind of your tight ends, and then you got Jones, who's a very good receiver and a very good runner, and then you've got your wide receivers. They've got the personnel to be a threat running the ball or passing the ball with the same personnel, and that's what you kind of want to see out of a no huddle team. You want guys that can threaten you both ways. And I think the Packers can do that. So the fact they're running at 5% less, it's kind of odd to me. So I kind of think, you know, this feels to me, this is a kind of season on the line game. I think they're going to mix it up. I think we're going to see them go no huddle a little bit more. At least that's what they should be doing. So that's one thing to keep an eye on. And the last thing I've got, the Vikings this year, I'm looking at kind of deep shots taken where deep is kind of, it's more than 15 yards down the field. They've taken 19 shots deep right on first down. That is their most targeted zone on any down for a deep shot. 19 shots. That's more than one per game on first downs. You know, getting close to two-ish per game on first down. They connect those on about 63% of those for 19 yards per attempt. So if you're looking for the Vikings to kind of take a shot against you, they're going to do it on first down, and the chances are they're going to hit deep right. So that is something on their first downs to watch out for. They're going to hit that zone. They're going to go for it. As far as final score, I'm kind of with Brian. I'm not optimistic that they're going to win this game. There's just, you know, they haven't won a road game yet, and they've come close, and they've had some kind of things go against them that should not have. I mean, I think they should have won this game in Seattle. However, they've had a hard time winning. But I think for the last time this season, I am going to have to believe the they're going to turn around. I have to believe they're going to go up tempo, that they're going to get the ball out, that they're going to just turn to the Packers team. They're finally going to morph into the Packers team that we know and love. So I think I predicted a loss a week or two ago. I'm going to go Packers win this game. I don't know how much I believe it, but I have
to. You're saying it.
I have to believe that they do. I have to believe that their season's not done yet. The talent they have, I think, is too much. So I'm going to go Packers win. It's honestly, it's the same score Eric had. I'm just flipping it. So I'm going Packers win 27-20.
Well, I will now have to adapt because Dusty said everything that I was going to say as well. stats and everything. So the players that need to step up, it's going to be players this time because we can't go through another game expecting to win with every wide receiver not named Davante Adams combining for two catches. MVS and EQ, you got to get it going. I know that maybe Rodgers, you know, overlooked you guys at points, stuff like that. But at the end of the day, we need more out of you guys if we're going to secure ourselves a playoff berth here. So get it going this week, guys, and show us what you guys got. We're going to continue hoping for the best for you guys, but we need a little bit more out of you guys. Although Devontae is a world beater, I think he's going to be a world beater on Sunday, and I will always forever pick the Packers. I think I picked them to lose to the Rams. That's about it. So
traitor.
Benedict Arnold here. Packers are going to win this game. 23-20. Classic Packers-Vikings score. And with that, we got final thoughts. Brian Fonfara.
Well, happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, I hope you had a good one. Happy Thanksgiving.
Because by the time this airs, it'll have been yesterday. So happy Thanksgiving, everybody. And now I guess it's officially Christmas season, so Merry Christmas, too. I had a Friendsgiving this year, so didn't go home for the holiday this time around, so we reached out to all of our friends in Denver that also weren't going home to see family, so just kind of friended it up. It was pretty sweet. Let's see. This week's drinking game, guys, is another gimme, much like last week, which if you played along, you were definitely drunk. I think you'll probably be the same this time. I want you to drink with me every time that Chris Collinsworth and Al Michaels reference the "you like that" moment from Kirk Cousins, and every time they mention or show the footage of Anthony Barr landing on Aaron Rodgers and hurting his shoulder. Once again, Brian, just like last week.
Apologize to everyone's livers in advance, Brian.
I'm going to go ahead and say play it safe. Just get yourself a five-day weekend. Take a vacation day on Monday.
Get old duels.
Because you're definitely going to need to nurse a hangover here. And my final thought, I so far like this new format, two episodes per week. We get to answer Twitter questions again, which we did ran out of time for a while, but I had a lot of fun answering those this week. If you have any thoughts on this new format, please, we're just testing it out for now. It's not official that it'll stay this way forever. So please give us your feedback. It would be greatly appreciated. That is all I have. You can find me on Twitter at @PTTF_Brian and us at @PTTF_podcast.
And no shame. I mean, if you guys are trying to give us feedback on that, why don't you just go ahead and when you open up your Apple phone or whatever you do to rate and review our podcast, just do that for us, please. We'd love it.
Do that for us, please.
Just to know that people are out there listening to us would be unbelievable. Dusty, your final thoughts.
I'm fine about screaming into the void. I don't know about you guys. If no one's listening to this and we're just talking, I'm fine with that. So
I still love it.
It's still great. All right, so you know, I got three. We'll start off with cheapest ticket. Boys, we're still not in single digits. What is going on? And I'm going to further that point. I want you to pay attention to the fact that we're not in single digits, and then keep in mind what this week's matchup is. That is our cheapest ticket. And think, how does that not cost $2 to get into?
It's got to be Jacksonville Jaguars related, right?
Yeah, Brian, you nailed it. It's Jacksonville at Buffalo.
At Buffalo.
It's $12. I thought it was going to be like...
So close.
I thought it was going to be like, you know, really, really cold. It's not. It's a high of 45, but it's going to be cloudy and there's like a 20% chance of rain. And you have to be in Buffalo. And who's getting the start for Buffalo this week, boys? They don't have Nathan Peterman anymore. What are they going to do? I think Derek Anderson is still looking good. Oh, no. Oh, they're doing Matt Barkley. Oh, Matt Barkley is the starter. No. It's going to be his second start as a Buffalo Bill. Now, he led the Bills this past week to a 40 burger over the Jets. But, like, I don't know. He played admirably. I think he completed like 60% of his passes for 280 yards. Like, it's not like he lit the world on fire. The Jets just were garbage because the Jets are a garbage team and the Bills are also a garbage team. So if you want to go see Jacksonville, who look like world beaters against Pittsburgh and still only put up like 9 points in the first half when they picked off Ben Roethlisberger a dozen times. If you want to see Blake Bortles go into Buffalo against Matt Barkley for $12, may God have mercy on your soul, because it's a garbage game to go to. You can do better.
My plane ticket and hotel and then the ticket and then gave me $12.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
have to come out on a $12 profit.
I'm still not
going. It's at Bills Mafia?
It's at Bills Mafia, yeah. Yeah, it's in Buffalo.
See. That would be worth the experience.
Now, I will say a friend of mine last year, he went to his first NFL game. He's a Canadian guy. He's a big Raiders fan. And so he went to Raiders Bills last year. And I think the Raiders got just absolutely curb stomped. You know, it was even pre-Gruden and everything. And he still had a blast. And he said the Bills fans were great and they were wonderful. But I actually think, John, that they're cutting down. They're trying to cut down on like the kind of power bombing people through tables. So what's the point?
What's the point?
Yes.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. I'm not going.
Yeah.
It's like your franchise has been like, you know, I mean, you have the Browns, obviously, I think at number one, and then the Bills, I mean, could be right there. I mean, losing four Super Bowls, and I mean, they literally are known by the Bills Mafia and power bombing people through tables.
Well, and they made the playoffs last year and then ran their playoff quarterback out of town to start Nathan Peterman and Josh Allen, like, and now Matt Barkley. Like, what is this nonsense? Don't give them your money.
I don't understand. You finally make the playoffs and then just blow it up. Oh my goodness, no. No, no.
Yeah, guys, don't pay. I normally am like, hey, that's not a bad price to go to an NFL game. It's not, man. Don't go to this game. It's $12.
Don't do it.
You could have gone last week was Titans Colts, which ended up being a blowout. But at least you got to see Andrew Luck doing really cool things. And T.Y. Hilton.
He's been playing good.
He's been awesome. I think I saw this. I think he's maybe tied the record for most games in a row with 3 touchdown passes with 7. Like, he's had a great year. Very excited. He seems like a decent guy. I'm very excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I got two more. One, guys, I'm watching this Monday Night Football game, which is awesome because it's Rams-Chiefs, and it's just a tremendous game to watch because not only is there offense, but there's also some defense. There's just pass rush going crazy, which has been amazing. But every time, like, this team is garbage. Like, why is Booger McFarland still on the cart? I've got a lot of questions about this team, but why is he still – What does he bring to the game that he couldn't bring to the game by being in the booth or sitting at home watching the broadcast? There's nothing. They've removed the TV from the back of his big dumb head. So now it's like plexiglass and they lowered it a little. So if you've paid like $600 or $1,000 for a seat lower bowl, you can actually kind of see now, except you still kind of can't because Booger McFarland is going back and forth with his cherry picker, just saying random things that may or may not be smart. I mute the games now. I don't listen to him. Like, he yells because he's on the field and he's always like, looks uncomfortable because he's in a cherry picker with like a cold hat because it's cold out there. And he brings no more, like, he's not adding anything to the broadcast. What's the point?
Look, Dusty, here's the thing. This booth lost John Gruden. And some of the dumbest football comments you could ever hope for out of a
That's not true, because they have Jason Witten now.
Okay, but listen, Jason Witten's been bad, but he's not on John Gruden's level yet. So since you can't replace the idiocies with words, you have to find some kind of action to kind of make up for the fact that you're not seeing enough stupid on the broadcast.
So you need the card.
So you do the cart, the cherry picker.
Okay. It's, that actually it's clear as day, man. Somehow, Brian, makes way more sense than any reason to.
Yeah, man. Like, I don't know. You lose Le'Veon Bell, and Connor's not going to be as good. But, you know, you get that running back who's going to be okay, and then you need some other element. You need, a Juju Smith-Schuster to step up.
I will say.
So the cart is Juju Smith-Schuster.
Okay, I'm following.
But the opposite.
I will say that before I started muting it and listening to music like any sane person should for these broadcasts, my favorite game, you talk about drinking games, Brian, my favorite drinking game is anytime Jason Witten uses an incorrect idiom. Oh, it's tremendous. Oh, just everything's wrong. Everything is slightly wrong, but sometimes it takes you a minute to figure out what's wrong. And it's amazing until you realize you've gotten dumber. And then now you have to not listen to it anymore to get smarter again. I started reading books again specifically because I listened to Jason Witten. And I felt like some of my brain had leaked out and I had to get it back. So anyway, that team sucks. So my last one, you know, guys, I usually do horror movies. I'm mixing it up because I found something that I've really enjoyed. And that is a podcast called Video Palace. Have either of you guys listened to this?
No, sir.
It's a Shudder production. I'm going to bring up some names here, so I don't forget. It's one of them, Devin. Shudder is a horror streaming site. Crap, I can't find her name. So sorry. Yes. Sorry, Devin. And they started doing this podcast. It's a great site, that I subscribed to once upon a time, and then I stopped, because it costs money and I didn't have a lot of money. And now I'm thinking about picking it back up again, but it's a great horror streaming site. I think it's $5 a month. They had the, if you grew up of a certain age, as I am, you remember Joe Bob Briggs from At the Drive-In. We would kind of, you know, talk you through some horror movies kind of late at night. And he had his big revival last year on Shudder, earlier this year on Shudder, which was a lot of fun. But they have a lot of really cool stuff that they're doing there. They're now starting to do some kind of more, Shudder-specific things. Well, one of the things they did is they produced this podcast called Video Palace. It's got some great voice actors, actually to the point where I had to look up to make sure it actually was fiction because it was frightening me a little bit. It follows this. It's a kind of a docu podcast. Think, S Town or Serial or something. And it's this guy kind of seeking out these famed, fabled white tapes that they're kind of in these VHS collector circles. It's kind of this creepy things that everyone's kind of heard these urban legends about, but no one knows too much about because no one's ever really seen one. It's like, I have a friend that's seen one. And these creepy things start happening. So this guy tracks one down, and he tracks two down, and it kind of goes from there. And as the further he gets, he's trying to basically unravel this mystery, and then he kind of gets raveled up in it himself, and just these creepy things start happening. It's tremendous. It all revolves around this video. It was a place called Video Palace in Vermont that these people traded, and maybe the videos were made there. You can listen to the whole thing through Shudder, which I said I don't actually subscribe to anymore, so I'm listening through iTunes. I think there's 10 podcasts. In season one, I'm currently on 8. It's really, really good. Like, it's maybe like the first episode is maybe a slow start, but it really picks up. And about like episode 3 or 4, I was absolutely hooked. And again, like, I had to Google to make sure it was fake, because it really kind of started freaking me out a little bit. So if you're into horror stuff at all and you listen to podcasts, do yourself a favor. Just check out Video Palace. It's been a lot of fun, and the voice acting, the music cues are just top notch. It feels real. I'm a big, big fan. So that's what I got for my final thoughts. You can find me on Twitter at Dusty Evely and at All22Talk.
All right, guys. I literally have the one thing to talk about that I promised you guys I was going to talk about this week, and that is my experience at the new Bucks Arena. And boy, oh boy. This thing is just, it's an architectural mastermind feat, whatever you want to call it. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. And if you're anywhere close to the stadium, I would highly recommend making it out there for a game, because it is, even if you're not even a basketball fan, just kind of go in there and see it, because it's that good. And what happened that was even better was the Bucks got down early, and then they came out and dropped 46 in the third quarter. So the Bucks continuing to look very, very good. And another note, my boy Yelly picked up the MVP.
Yes.
Yeah. So well deserved. The guy just, the second half of the season, I mean, that is a half of season of baseball that, I mean, is players would dream to have. And he did it first year in Milwaukee. We picked up an MVP in a trade. I mean, let's go Milwaukee. And on all levels, let's go Green Bay on all levels. We're still in it. We're half game out of the wild card. All right. There's still hope. It starts this Sunday. Take care of business against the Vikings. I know we can win this game, so let's get the job done. Check back in next week for more content from Back to the Future. Follow all the writers. Love them all. Go Pack Go. We are back to the Future.